Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. This week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 13, Welcome to Earth 2. Or as we like to call it, Welcome to Earth. So this whole episode was basically how many little differences can you spot between Earth 1 and Earth 2? Because although there was a lot going on in the episode, let's face it, the grand majority of people were just trying to see little clue or trying to see the little differences between both universes, because that's essentially that's what I spent the whole episode doing.
There really isn't a little differences. This is a crap ton of differences, especially coming from Earth 2, because that's where Jay Garrick is from. Honestly, that entire universe, because Jay Garrick's universe, essentially, he fought in actually World War II. So in that universe, it seems like it's still within like the 50s.
That's actually one of the things I like the most about Earth 2. Mm-hmm. The fact that while their technology was super advanced, mm-hmm. their way of living is very 1950s, man. Like mm-hmm. when you see Barry, well, I guess Earth 1 Barry and Iris go to that, I guess Jitterbug and their version of Jitterbug, which is just this like jazz lounge, and Joe's a lounge singer.
Yeah,
I love that, dude. I love seeing that. And then you see everybody in the background, everyone looks dressed like they're from the 1950s. You know what it did remind me of, though? You remember the Batman animated series?
Yeah,
it reminded me a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And just because like that whole world was set in sort of this like 1950s era.
Yeah, that's what I saw it from there. And then the technology, that's way advanced. It looks like it's probably 3 or 4 generations ahead.
Yeah, and then you see all the people, and then you see the technology, and you're like, okay, you're definitely way advanced.
Yeah.
So we'll take a step back right now, and we'll talk about all the things we saw when they were going through the speed cannon. Okay, that was basically anyone that watched the episode probably went back and tried to pause and try to capture as much as they could. So we'll just kind of go down the list in no particular order. We saw a shot of Supergirl flying. So that was one of the coolest things in the episode. We saw Gorilla Grodd, which we assumed would come back at some point because he is in Earth 2 from that moment where they send him through the breach.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Jonah Hex. And you can tell it's Jonah Hex because it has that very that thing in his mouth where his like skin connects.
Yeah.
So off the bat, you know, you see an alternate Green Arrow. I'm kind of wondering what that's going to be all about.
That Green Arrow is actually, this is from the main comic books as well. That is actually Oliver Queen's son in, I think it's Earth 3 or New 52 Prime 1. So that is Connor. No, it's Hunter Hawk. Hunter Hawk, that's his name. So that's the son of Oliver Queen after he passes. That's who takes over the mantle.
Oh, so you think they'll tie it into the show in some way? Maybe there's some time travel going on?
They're going to time it not in Flash, because these are all the multiverses that they're passing through, and these are all different universes. They're not going to pass it on Flash. It's already been confirmed they're not going to do it on Flash, but they will do it in Legends of Tomorrow. You will see him in Legends of Tomorrow. So Jonah Hex, Gorilla Grodd, Supergirl, all those things are all different universes. They're not all in the same universe. This is them passing through every single one. Jonah Hex is definitely going to be in a TV show, but it's not going to be Flash either. It's going to be Legends of Tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the headline of something where I read something where it mentioned that Jonah Hex was cast for that show, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool. Another thing we did see was the Retro Flash from the 1990s TV show.
Yeah, which it's John Wesley Shipp that played that character, and that's actually the same actor that plays Barry Allen's father in the current Flash as well. So they did an homage to him as well.
I thought that was a nice little, like, by the way, in case you didn't know. And you know what's cool about this whole episode is that for anyone that like likes The Flash and really likes to get into the show and really research things here and like little bits of trivia here and there, this episode was really for those people, because they're throwing a bunch of little things at you and you don't even notice them because they're just always in the background. Like one of the things when they first go into Earth 2 and go to Wells' office, where they mention Mayor Snart, they're like, okay, so in this Earth, Captain Cold is not a villain anymore. Captain Cold is the mayor of Central City.
Mm-hmm. You actually missed one as well.
Which one?
There was the emblem that was actually on there in silver with the L on it.
Oh, yeah. What was?
That is the Legion of Superheroes. That is from one of the original comic books, and it was actually started by teenage Superman. And they're actually a group of superheroes that, like, from the Golden Age, where they're actually time travelers, which is a coincidence, first of all. And they also fight other enemies through dimensions as well. So they have a deep correlation with what's going on right now. But it's not with the Flash. That's the one thing. It's bugging me right now, because everything that they showed you right now, only two of those things are probably going to be in the Flash episode, which is the Supergirl one, which was announced. And possibly Garrod again. But everything else is actually Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Because those deal with the future.
The future, the past. Because Hex, Jonah Hex would be in the past.
Jonah Hex is in the past, but he also does time traveling himself. And I actually made a mistake on the Green Arrow. It's Connor Hawk. That's his name. That's the Oliver Queen's son. So that deals with the future as well. So that's Legends of Tomorrow's actually forte, not the Flash's.
It's still, I would love to see more time travel in the Flash, because right now we're going to parallel dimensions, but it has been shown that, you know, he obviously does time travel. Mm-hmm. So I want to see how far he'll either go into the future, or, you know, I don't think it'd be that interesting to see him go into the past, just because for him, well, at least at the moment, they haven't built up anything in the past.
Well, he's done one thing in the past. He goes back to try to stop his mom's murder, but he has to let it happen.
Yeah, and then he just kind of thing. It just kind of results in him just letting it happen, which I always thought was really harsh. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the episode, and we get to Earth 2, and essentially they're trying to stop Zoom. Well, they're trying to locate Zoom, and Barry kind of thinks up an idea of capturing himself from Earth 2 and living out his life. And when they go to the police station, one of the coolest things you do see is Floyd Lawton. Mm-hmm. And you see that he's, like, super bad at... I guess the joke is that he's a horrible shot. Mm-hmm. And they call him Deadshot. Deadshot just as, like, to make fun of him. Mm-hmm. And he's in the police force, and he's Iris's partner. And Iris is, like, super badass cop now.
Yeah. She's the head detective of the entire precinct, which is actually pretty cool as well.
Yeah, and those are one of the differences. That's one of the differences that I really liked about Earth 2, and that the show showed, was just how different these characters can be. And, you know, it's almost like showing how different the actor can portray that same character, because essentially it's still the same one. And you know what's got to suck for Barry is realizing that in Earth 2, he gets Iris, but he's not the Flash.
No, he's still a geek, just like how he normally is right now. But he's a huge, like, super nerd, and the fact is he does have the girl that he always wanted to have. It just sucks that in his main reality, he doesn't have her.
And also, Joe hates him.
Yeah.
Like, because when they go to that jazz bar, you definitely see that Joe and him don't get along. And obviously, Barry doesn't really understand that. Barry doesn't know that dynamic. So when he tries to, like, hug Joe, Joe's like, yeah, don't touch me. And they have that conversation where it's like, I don't really like you because of the things that Iris had to do and what she went into because of you. So it had to be pretty, pretty harsh to see Barry in that aspect. One of the other cool differences, which we've been waiting to see for the longest time, since the season started, we've been waiting to see this. We're going to see Killer Frost, yep. And I did not know that Deathstorm was going to be in that.
Yep.
Which is, it's Firestorm, but it's the evil version.
Yeah, they mentioned that he was going to appear again in some episode, some form or shape. And this is where we finally get to see him as his actual evil self, which is actually a really great backstory on him, too. It's almost the exact same backstory. The only difference is that Professor Stein is no longer an entity. He's still inside of him, but he's not a
He's dormant. He does mention that he's just dormant.
Exactly. He's just there. He's just like a small little tidbit in his head, and that's it.
I'm just going to say that the actress that portrays Caitlin Snow, Danielle Panabaker, she plays an incredible villain, dude. Mm-hmm. I loved Killer Frost, man, from the very first scene she's in, where she takes the money and then she just kills the guard with, like, no remorse or anything like that. You could tell off the bat she's straight evil.
Yeah, with a name like Killer Frost, of course she would be evil.
You just... I liked it because it wasn't like, oh, you know, I'm not trying to do this. And so far, we've had a lot of villains, I guess, that have a particular reason. And for her, it just seemed like she didn't really care. She was just like, I want the money. I'm evil. I'm bad. Like, I want to kill people, or I want to just hurt people.
Yeah, it's crazy that how Killer Frost is, which is actually really cool. I actually loved Killer Frost. She's one of my personal favorite villains from the DC universe. She's always had an obsession, and the craziest thing, her obsession is actually with a Firestorm. It's not a Deathstorm, but which is great because they're actually together. While even in the comic books, they're actually together as well, but they're as mortal enemies. They're one side of the field, and she's always trying to get at him every time.
Well, what makes sense, although I did like that line. It's a little cheesy, but I still liked it. The line where she says that the only person she can kiss is the only person she wants to.
Yep.
Well, I was like, well, there you go. It had to be. So they're this, you know, dynamic crime duo, not even crime fighting, but this dynamic crime duo, working for Zoom. And essentially they track down Iris and Joe, and they're trying to find what they call breachers, because Zoom informs them that there are people from other dimensions, which leads me to believe that Zoom has a way to track that. So that's kind of what struck me, is that I guess he has some sort of way to detect when one person crosses from one universe to another. Now, I don't know if they'll ever play that up, or if they'll mention that he has a bit of technology or something like that, but I did find that little tidbit of information to be interesting.
I don't think they'll bring that up, but there is I'll give you guys a fun fact on that. There, anytime, this is where I'm actually trying to get some of the information from. The way how Zoom actually acts and is, this is actually from a small little story arc. I hated it because it's from the New 52 that actually was terrible. Like, if you guys ever read it and you guys like it, enjoy it. I didn't like it. It's David West, who is actually Iris's little brother. This is from a different Earth, which is actually, I think, is it Earth 2 or is Prime Earth 2? I don't remember which one it was. He actually becomes Zoom, and the way how he can actually telepathically link himself with other speedsters. So he actually knows their memories, their thoughts, just by actually sensing if there's one nearby.
You know, as I was saying that, I kind of realized that Cisco probably told him.
It could be that too. Yeah, because I just thought about that. Well, I'm like,
huh?
Yeah.
And there's yet another one. We do see in this episode, we see that Cisco in Earth 2 has become a villain. He became Reverb, which, you know, the name sounded pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And you do see his powers eventually. So we'll go back to Earth 1 for a second. And we'll see that Geomancer is the one that's... So this week's villain is Geomancer, and he's essentially tearing apart the city, trying to get the Flash to come out. And he kind of realizes that the Flash isn't around, and the only person that's really there to help is Jay Garrick. And Caitlin kind of like tells him to take Velocity 6, and he's really hesitant. So finally he does kind of say, okay, well, the reason I lost my speed is not because of Zoom. The reason I lost my speed is because of Velocity 6, and because I was like obsessed with getting faster, and essentially that's what messed me up to where I am now.
Yeah, and then Caitlin also tells him, well, you realize that you're actually seeing it in a different standpoint. I actually know a lot more of the biological form of this, so I can help you. And that's when she creates Velocity 7, which is actually used when he's going against Geomancer.
Yeah, and it really lent itself to this really cool scene where Jay Garrick uses his helmet to, I guess, somehow use pressure to get a Geomancer, and Joe's like, okay, that's new. And what's really interesting is that there's no one to teach Barry how to use his powers until Jay Garrick shows up, and Jay Garrick just seems to have so many tricks up his sleeve, man. Mm-hmm. He seems to have like all these speed powers that Barry has no idea about. And even like right now, you don't ever see him use any of it. You only ever see him use the lightning.
He's used his speed attacks too, where he beat the living crap out of
Yubar Thon,
because that's also part of his powers too, where he's supposed to like actually use his speed to actually pound people, right? The other thing is like a mile punch, or his Mach 3 punch, where he just goes far away, comes right back, and punches the crap out of somebody.
Super tackle.
Yeah. And also, of course, the lightning bolt that Jay Garrick taught him as well. And also the whirlwind.
Oh, he does use that from time to time.
And he actually has done phasing through stuff too before. He's done it once or twice in episodes. He can actually phase through stuff. So he's used a lot of powers, and he's figured out how to use some of them, too.
It's just most of the time you only... My whole complaint is, like, that you only really ever see him use, like, just the speed factor. But you never see him use any of those, like, tricks that come with the speed.
Nope.
You see the whirlwind stuff, and the lightning one is the one you really see the most. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, you don't... Not many of the other ones.
No, not really. He's not really... he's not really honed to his powers yet.
Which eventually... I guess would make sense, because he's still relatively new in what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Jay Garrick's, you know, been the Flash for a while now. So, you know, Jay Garrick confronts Geomancer, and that doesn't really go that well because Velocity 7, as we learn, is not particularly stable and it doesn't last very long. So he ends up not doing so well and tripping over himself and being saved by Joe. And that kind of leads to the conversation when he's talking to Caitlin about, you know, kind of about the situation. Caitlin's like, you know what, we're going to fix this. You know, we're going to find a way past this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows like how much Caitlin really does care about him. Cause while at the same time, she is helping him get his powers back to save the city. I think she, not only that, but she's helping him to stay alive because essentially this is what's killing him.
Yeah. His overdosing on that extra speed boost, which is in his terms, I think is like velocity 6 that he was originally using.
Yeah.
That's the one that actually causes him to go down. But the main one that's being used in the comic books is actually, I'm hoping they're actually pressing for it because that's exactly what Caitlin says. Like, well, moving from velocity 7 to velocity 8, because velocity 9 is the main one that's used. And that actually has the longest effect of majority of those drugs.
Seeing velocity 9 in the show would probably be very, very interesting. We get to like the end of the episode, which I definitely liked because we see Reverb, who's, he's really got a big ego, man. And it just shows just how much different Cisco could have been. Because the guy seems to think like, okay, with our powers, we can take over the universe. We can beat Zoom. We can be the greatest unstoppable power ever. And you do see him and Deathstorm trying to kill Barry. And, you know, I think Killer Storm is the only one that says like, hey, Killer Frost. You see her, she's the only one that's like, hey, stop hurting him because Zoom said to like bring him back unharmed. And then out of nowhere, you just see Zoom just burst into the scene, kill Deathstorm, and then kill freaking Reverb. And he does it the same way that Ubarthan killed Cisco by doing that speed vibe into his chest.
Oh man, as soon as that scene happened, you can look at Cisco and he's grabbing his chest too because he knows that that's happened to him in a different time period, and he's like, oh crap, this is like deja vu all over again, except he's actually witnessing that this for the first time.
So that's what it looked like when I got killed.
Yeah. Holy crap.
And then, you know, we see Zoom take Barry, which I really, really want to see how that plays out, because the last time that Zoom had Barry, he beat the crap out of him. But honestly, the first time that happened was Zoom was there to prove a point. This time, Zoom's just trying to like basically just use him to get his powers.
He just wants to steal his speed force, essentially, to get stronger so he can actually be the most indestructible person.
The fastest man alive. And while Barry's imprisoned by Zoom, we do see Wells' daughter, and then we see on the other side, we see this guy in a mask, imprisoned as well, and he's the biggest mystery, because you're like, okay, this whole time we've only ever seen Jesse, right, I believe?
Yes.
We've only ever seen Jesse, and we don't see any of the other cells.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're seeing Barry in one of them, and we look across, we see this like masked dude that just kind of came out of nowhere, and he kind of lines up the biggest mystery for this episode is, who is that guy?
His helmet kind of looked a little bit like Spartan, like Spartan's helmet.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, it could be like a rendition of him, but I doubt it because, well, this is different Earth, so I don't doubt that that's going to be the same. But he had a gun with him too, didn't he? Did you see a gun with him? Because I remember he was tapping.
He was just tapping with his hands.
Looks like he was doing like Morse code to him.
Yeah, he's definitely trying to communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
As that is what I took from that. Now, I can't even begin to speculate who this guy would be.
And not only, I'm actually starting to speculate actually who may Zoom be now, because after seeing the most recent episodes, it actually has changed my perspective again.
Who do you think Zoom is now?
I actually think it's either their rendition of WALL-E from that universe.
Okay.
Because now I'm actually thinking that it could be WALL-E West there. And I'm still sticking with WALL-E West, Hunter Zolomon as well, because there's probably a Hunter Zolomon there in that world too. And I'm still going with, what was the other one? Freaking, there was one more. It was like, it has to be like Eddie as well as Eobard Thawne in that world too.
You know what? WALL-E would make perfect sense in that it's lined up. We all kind of like expect WALL-E to be, you know, the Flash essentially, or like the Flash sidekick or Kid Flash or however you want to call it. But I didn't think that it would. It also kind of sets it up for him to just be a speedster in general. And if he's that much obsessed with speed, it would make sense that in Earth 2, he takes it to a sinister level, because Zoom's obsessed with being the fastest person alive. Mm-hmm. And WALL-E in Earth 1 is obsessed with just being, you know, super fast as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even something I had ever thought about till right now, where I'm starting to think, okay, if you really make both, if you really compare the two and make parallels between the two, it makes sense.
It really does, actually. It kind of pushes the boundaries now that people still speculate that it's still Barry's dad. That is, there's still people saying that's Barry's dad. I've been watching videos, a lot of them, and there's still a lot of people saying that now Barry's dad's still number one. Number two is probably another Eobard Thawne, but we saw Reverse Flash already, so it can't be him. And it could be a Hunter Zolomon and most of the lore from that. And, of course, it has to be probably – everyone thought it was Barry Allen at first, too. Like, that other world's Barry Allen, but we found out it wasn't him. He got caught. He got zapped. And then Barry Allen himself ended up being him. So it can't be him either. So there's a lot of stuff that showed kind of it could have been either or. But yeah, WALL-E West has actually started shooting, skyrocketing actually, from my list. I think he's probably going to be number one.
He makes a lot of sense for me.
But the only thing that kind of throws it off is his height. That's the only thing. If you notice how short WALL-E West is compared to Barry when they stood side by side, and you saw how Zoom's actually a little bit taller. There is a reason why that I'm still speculating this, because Zoom's actually obsession with Speed Force actually increases his power and actually bulks him up almost like Hulk status. It gets him bigger. So there might be that reason, that logic there, but that's from the New 52. That's what I got it from. It could be that, but I'm not sure.
Well, I'm definitely interested in seeing who he is and seeing what we get in the next episode of The Flash.
Oh yeah.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of The Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com, that's film-book.com, and search for either Stephen Bueno or The Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents, that's G-E-N-T-S, or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.